Hello and welcome to another installment of Casual Trekker. This is Scott. This is going to be my overall review of the episode so far of Season 2 of Quantum Leap. And we open this finding out that Ben has been listed as missing in action, dead, for 3 years. And in that time, they buried him, they grieved him. Addison moved on. She started dating a guy named Tom who has his own emotional trauma and history with his ex-wife that we kind of delve into and expand upon and everything else through the course of the season. We find out that Ian made a deal with the devil to get the Quantum Leap processor going, and that comes to fruition, and she gets set up, and they're able to do that to get out from underneath their thumb, but there's a lot of tension going on. I don't understand why no one ever just includes other people in the problem so it gets resolved faster. I feel like it's kind of stretched out when it's not necessary to do that, because Ian should have trusted his team to tell him, hey guys, I messed up, this is what I did, how can I get out of it. Instead, he keeps to himself. Jim becomes suspicious. They bring up their ex, and then talks to the ex, and then she says never mind, and then he's trying to do all this stuff behind the curtain, and then Jen finally says, you need to include everyone, and then that's what they did, and then they solve the problem. And the biggest thing about season two is Hannah. We get to learn that Ben meets this when he goes in 1949, he's investigating UFO and stuff like that, and this girl at this diner, he has pretty much a connection with. And he tells her, you should go to Princeton or whatever. And he goes, you know what, that's a good idea. And then a couple leaps later, he runs into Hannah again. And this time she's living a different type of life. And she's a part of a project. And through Ben's involvement, now she could die. And then throughout the course of the episode, she's trying to figure out how he knows all this stuff that he knows about things. And finally comes to the reveal once we learn that Tomlin's going to change and it's going to be really bad. He reveals, yeah, I met you in 1949. And she's like, oh, all these things are connecting. Cool type deal. And then she does what Ben asked, which is burn the formula that could have caused like World War II or World War III. Or what, World War III, I guess, because it's 1955 and World War III already happened. So overall, I'm liking season two. Some of the episodes seem clunky a little bit. Like it could have been shorter, or they could have done something more interesting. Like the budget was reduced and they were trying to save money. Like the episode where they spend a good chunk of their time inside of a shoe shop. You could tell that it was budgetary cuts, probably for a future episode where they could get props and stuff like that for different shows. But you could tell that while the outside stuff was good, we spent a lot of time inside of just a shoe store for a good measure of time, and you kind of felt like we were dwelling a little bit. But overall, season two has been fun. A lot of character stuff. A lot of the character stuff between Addison. A lot of character stuff between her fiance, Tom. And a whole lot of stuff going on with Ben and Addison. And then him saying, you can't be my hologram anymore. It's just too hard. And then other people jumping in to be the hologram. I was really hoping that in the first episode that the blonde person, girl in the episode, that him saving her life somehow made her part of the project, and like she would be his hologram, and then she would look up the previous leaps and she would see herself and go, oh my goodness. So she'd kind of have like a magic moment where we find out, like in the original series, where that magic let Sam Beckett leap into him type deal. She would have that same sort of thing that happened with magic. I was really hoping that character was going to go somewhere, because she was really strong and fierce, and she just felt strong and empowered. Like the character was going to go somewhere, but then it kind of didn't. So I was kind of let down by that. Probably because I liked the actress, because she was also in Manifest. She played the sister, and they had callings stuff like that. So maybe I had that kind of a connection with her already, and that's why I'm kind of bummed. But I thought that maybe because he saved her, she would somehow in some way be part of the project and learn that, and they would have a kind of a connection. But they're doing that with Hannah in an interesting way, where he's leaping inside of her lifetime and making connections, which means now he can't leap before 1955. Otherwise, she's going to have no memory of what has happened. And then when he does leap, it's going to be confusing because of the paradox. So anytime he runs into her now, it has to be after 1955. And he's already gone 6 years after. So, I mean, there's a lot of dates you can go to. But it already being 6 years is kind of cutting it. You cut down a lot of your available space, because she's going to start getting older and older and older and starting to need makeup and everything else. And them being able to be love interests is going to be a little fuzzy, because he goes and leaps 10 years later. She's going to be 10 years older. And, you know, it's just changing. I think that the years should have been a little bit more closely. Like, he should have leapt 1 year after the events of the diner, or 18 months after. So he had a lot of time to play with in season two. So they really need to slow it down, so that way we don't got to worry about how old is she supposed to be. Like they 1949, I met her. 1955, 6 to 7 years later after that. And say 1965, that's going to be 20 years after that. So you get into a way where she's 20 years older than she was at that diner. So you got to be careful. Otherwise, it's going to become unbelievable, where they're just going to be like buddies. And then at the conclusion of this last episode, Ben kissed her. So I'm interested in that dynamic. I'm interested in that relationship, and I want to see where it's going to go. And so I don't want them to kind of miss the boat to where they make her too old for Ben to feasibly be like, hey, we can be this thing. But time travel rules, so who knows? Just like in Star-Crossed Lovers, where Donna knew how Sam Beckett liked his sandwich, even though it was before they met. Who knows what could happen? And there's a lot of different elements that could be happening, to where he could just leap to 1956, and then he has to, of course, somehow be in her presence. And we all know that we learned that Sam was controlling his leaps, and we know that Ben Song set up his leaps in the first season. So maybe season two, he's drawn to her, and so he's bringing himself to her, correcting things that have gone wrong, that is close proximity to where she's at, so that way he can see her a lot. Kind of like a time traveler's wife type deal, where there's like thousands of leaps, and we're just catching up to where they all go to. Yeah, so it'll be fun to follow where this goes. Of the two characters, I think I like Hannah better. Tom kind of, he has depth because of the whole wife thing, but that's, if you take away Addison and you take away the wife, you got Magic. And I think they need to do a more of a distinction, or they should have taken Magic out for a good long bit and just left it to be him, because I feel like they're redundant a little bit, maybe. They haven't really said, Magic is the control person, he's in control of this. So it's kind of like, I feel like there's two people in that office that are in charge right now. I kind of wish that Magic just came back as like a civilian, and he was a consultant now, and Tom was actually the boss. I did enjoy the fact that they brought Magic to a relationship. Am I happy that it's Beth? I don't know how I feel about that yet, because of her love and devotion to Albert Calavici, and he didn't die that long ago from season one. So I don't know if that relationship makes a whole lot of sense with how she would have felt towards Al and the memory of Al. But I mean, it gives us to an interesting story about the whole alcohol abuse thing, but then it's kind of like, then nothing happens with it for the most part. I mean, it shines a light on it to say that people do suffer from this stuff. They do hide it. So that's a good thing. That's great. But if you take that away and it's just a story, where are they going with it? So the one thing I'm really curious about is the relationship between Ben and Addison, how he's going to relate to what's happening between her and Tom. And I'm definitely interested about what's going to happen between him and Hannah, and how that's going to happen. And maybe his end game is, when he's not going to come home, he's going to go to where he thinks home is, and home might not no longer be in 25 or 26, because Addison is now with Tom and everyone's moved on. It's been 3 years. Maybe his new home is going to be kind of like what they did in Endgame with Captain America, and he's going to stay back in the past and marry Peggy. In this case, Ben would leap into himself in the series finale, and he would go up to Hannah and reveal himself to be who he is, and then they live a very happy life. And then maybe we even get to see a flash forward event where one of their ancestors is working on the project the entire time and kind of just like learning his grandpa, and we have no one on the project even has an idea, kind of like Time Traveler's Wife when we saw the daughter at the end watching his father do all these jumps. So I think there's a lot that they could do in season 2, and I'm excited to see where it's going to go. That will conclude this podcast.